Sunday morning. Welcome to First Baptistville Platte. If you are our guest today, you are our honored guest to be in worship with us. And we want to make note of that, that you took the time out of your day to be here with us. Thank you so much for that wonderful, wonderful time that you're spending. And Brother Allen, I see you back there with Brother Bird. And Brother Allen has helped us so much along the way and getting funding and wisdom to get here. And Brother Bird has been along with us through this whole time. Listen, I can't go across this room and tell everyone thank you, but thank you so much for your investment and your time and your prayers. This community has been excited about this building, about the growth of our church, about the ministries that we have involved in the community. Thank you so much for being here. I know we have many political figures and many leaders in our community, and thank you for being here and taking part of this. But listen, I say all that, but you're not the main attraction. Jesus Christ is the main attraction. The book of Philippians chapter 3, from verse 7 through 21 today. If I had to title this message something, and preachers seem to do that, it would be, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. You know, you don't have to know a lot of things to make a difference in the world. You really don't. You don't have to know a lot of things, and you don't have to master a lot of things to make a difference in this world. But you do have to master a few really great things. You really have to be mastered by someone and a cause to change this life, to change the life of others for all eternity. The question is, are you willing to be mastered by Christ so that you can make an eternal difference in this life? What a shame it would be if we went through all of our life and we have nothing, nothing to lay at the feet of Christ. What a waste. But I know there are some people in this room and maybe watching by Facebook, watching by internet, I know there are some people here that really don't give a rip about eternal things. There are some people who really just want to be friends with everyone. They just want other people to like them. They just want to live the American dream. They want a quality education. They want a nice home. They want a really good job that pays well. They want some fun vacations. They want a nice, happy family. They want a good husband. They want a loving wife. They want 2.5 children. They want to work all those years and then just have this nice retirement so they can be comfortable and then die with ease. That's all. That's all. And for some of you, you're probably saying, that doesn't sound so bad to me. But what a waste if you have nothing to lay at the feet of Jesus with your life. Paul talks about something of this nature. Book of Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. On down to 21. Paul, in the first part of chapter 3, we spoke about last week. Paul names out some things why we need to have a consistent dose of the gospel message. Why? Because we forget. We forget what we hear. We forget what we learn sometimes. It gets kind of cloudy. And there were a group of Judaizers, a group of people who were really trying to say, listen, you know, it's not just Jesus, it's plus works for salvation. And Paul goes into verse 7, and then he starts to say, no, listen, I have more right than anyone to brag about those things, but I don't. And verse 7 picks up there. Paul says this, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I counted all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may know and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal it to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we are eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we turn in your word, Paul says many things in this little passage to remind us, Lord, that where our focus needs to be, where our life center needs to be. Help us to grasp that, even today, in Jesus' name, amen. Don't waste your life. Few things we need to learn from this passage. And the first one is this: count as loss our self-perceived importance. If you want to make a difference in this life for all eternity, to affect the kingdom of God in some way, we must see ourselves as we really are. This idea of self-importance has to go. We see in verse 7, Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. The Apostle Paul gives us an insight to this journey of eternal significance for Christ Jesus. Verse 7, he says, whatever things were gained. He's talking about where he used to be in life before Christ. Whatever things I were, everything that I was back then, listen, today, he said, I counted it as loss. Why? For the sake of Christ. See, you remember Paul met Jesus Christ. He was named Saul then. He met Christ on the road to Damascus. And on that road to Damascus, he had this encounter and this salvation experience with Jesus Christ. Acts 9:4 says, he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" For Paul, he thought he was someone in the Jewish faith. Listen, he was born a Jew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was someone. He was a Pharisee. He was not only a law keeper, he was a lawmaker. And for him, in the Jewish faith, he had all rights to brag. But Paul says, I count all of those things lost. I counted them as lost for the sake of Christ. Listen, I gave all that up so that I could follow Jesus Christ. Maybe some of us this morning, maybe you have prestige in your life. Maybe you've worked really hard to get where you are in life. Maybe you've been through some elections. Maybe you've been through college. Maybe you have several degrees behind yourself. And you've got yourself in a position to where, man, I have accomplished great things in life, but do you know Jesus? Are you counting those things as more valuable than your relationship with Christ? Paul says, I count all things as loss. All things. See, Jesus made this calling into Paul's life very personal. He says, talking to Paul, Jesus says, why do you persecute me? In Acts, verse 5, chapter 9, says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and he says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Listen, this personal encounter led to a personal relationship. Jesus knew Paul, and by grace, Paul now knows Jesus. And knowing Jesus is a surpassing worth and value above everything else. Paul says, everything I worked so hard for in the whole life that I knew, he's listening, it's all lost just so that I can know Jesus, to know him. Paul goes on to say in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, more than that, not only did I count those things lost back then, not only were they great things that I had to push aside, he goes on in verse 8, he says, more than that, I count all things to be lost. I counted it lost then, and today I still count it a loss in the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Notice the present tense, I count all things to be lost. Paul, in the prior verse, used a past tense. I counted back then. I counted when I met Christ. I counted everything as lost. But listen, Paul is now telling us, I count everything. That's a daily counting everything as lost. That's a daily surrender to Christ Jesus' lordship in his life. Even today, I still count those things as lost. Even today, years later, Paul is not hung up on past devotion to Christ. Paul currently, daily, hourly, if needed, renounces his failures and his successes of yesterday. Christian, we need to learn something here. If we want our lives to count for significance in all of eternity, if we do not want to waste our lives, we cannot get consumed by yesterday's victories and all those accomplishments and all those accolades. There's so many Christians I meet today who are hung up in the past. Well, you know, when I was young, I used to do this. Good for you. But are you losing yourself today for the cause of Christ? Or is it a daily, I'm dying to self? When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, what does cross mean? That you're dying daily. Cross is a signal of death. You're dying daily to self. that I'm renouncing all those things so that I can follow Christ. I will not pride myself because I've won this. I will not pride myself because I used to be this person. I hear more Christians brag about how bad they were when they were young than they are about how good Jesus is to them today. That's not really a testimony for Jesus. You're still hung up in the past. Some Christians are hung up in their past failures where they really messed up and they're still living it every day. Can you like Paul? Can I like Paul says, I renounce that. I renounce who I used to be so that today I can live to the fullest for Christ Jesus. See, we cannot live in yesterday. The things that were gained, Paul says, I've counted as loss. I count all things as loss, that continuous dying to self and this renouncing of self-importance. And even more than just loss, verse 8, the latter part says, I count them as rubbish. And here, rubbish means not just trash, not just garbage. It means poop. Paul says, I counted who I used to be, listen, as refuge, as poop today. That's Paul saying, I hate who I used to be because I'm so in love with Jesus. I renounce that. Paul reminds us that we must empty ourselves of selfish, foolish pride in order to grow more like Christ. See, may we lose ourselves in order to live for Christ. May we lose ourselves, all this self-importance that we thought we were, and that others tell us who we are. May we lose that so Jesus can live through us. Because as long as Jesus is fighting against ourselves, we're going to win. Because we'll keep pushing him aside. We have to die to ourselves in the power of the Spirit. Self is our greatest enemy to living in the power of Christ. Self. So blame it on the devil. No, blame yourself. Look in the mirror and that's the person who's giving you the most trouble. See, if you're living for yourself, if you're living in yesterday's successes, you're wasting your life. Wasting your life. The second thing we can see from this passage, Paul says to press forward. He says, press forward and upward in Christ Jesus. Press forward and upward. Forget what's behind and press forward in Christ. We see in verse 13 and 14 from the English Standard Version, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Not only does Paul renounce the past things that he once treasured about himself, he has a new motivation now. He has a new passion, a new reason for living. His name is Jesus. When Paul had this encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, it changed his life completely. Not only he says, I'm renouncing who I used to be, every day I'm dying to that so that I may live for Jesus. Why? Because he's my new passion. He's the one that gives me motivation to get up every day and live to the fullest. He is. Every day for Paul was Jesus. Every day for Paul was Jesus. Can you say that? Can you say Monday morning in your life will be for Jesus? Will you say this week will be for Jesus? See, every day for Paul was Jesus. If tomorrow's sun would rise for Paul, It was more of Jesus. Paul suffered for the cause of Christ. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was betrayed, he was shipwrecked, he was rejected, and eventually killed for Christ. Is there anything in your life that you count worthy of living for and dying for? Is there anything in your life that you count worthy of living for and dying for? See, that's the only way that you're going to make a difference in this life. That's the only way you're going to make a difference in all eternity, is that you are gripped by someone and something. And I pray that it is Jesus Christ that you are gripped with, that he is living through you. Paul said he was straining forward. Some people say, when I come to Christ, I thought my life would get better. Wrong. Your eternity got better, but your life may be a little more difficult. Paul says, I'm straining forward for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It was not easy for Paul to follow Christ. Listen, today it's not easy for us to follow Christ. If you really are serious about this walk that you have with Jesus Christ, if you're dying to who you used to be so that you can live for Christ every day, it will not be easy. Why? Because you find new circumstances every day. Things that would challenge your faith. Things that would call on you to compromise your walk with Christ. There'll be things that are pulling on you. There'll be temptations that are drawing on you. There'll be things that shadow cause a shadow over your faith. There'll be reasons that you want to doubt. It's not easy walking this walk with Christ. Listen, that old selfish nature will always want to come back up. We die to him every day, but somebody keeps resurrecting him. I don't know why, but he still wants to drag up. I strain forward, Paul says. There's a high cost to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But the prize is worth the strain. Listen, can you join with Paul and say, I renounce my old life. I'll count it as rubbish so that I may daily gain to be more like Jesus. Listen, if you're just walking through this life, and Jesus, you're not really serious about your relationship with Christ, you're going to find, you know, this walk is not very hard. Why? Because you're just like the wind. You're going all over the place. You really don't care. There's no devotion. There's no cost. You're just doing life. Then you have to check yourself. Are you really in the faith with Christ at all? Or are you just doing religion? Are you just doing religion? See, eternal significance for the kingdom of God does not just happen by chance. It is a daily, intentional choice to die to self, to live for Christ. Jesus told his disciples over in Matthew 16, he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And what shall a man give in return for his soul? Every day is a day to push forward for Christ. Every day is a strain to work out our salvation, to gain and grow more in Christ. When the Bible says work out your salvation, you're not trying to work for your salvation. That means you are saved, walking through this life with all of its challenges, It means that you are working it out. You're going through life, and you're going to be hit a few times here and there. And listen, but the faith that you have in Christ Jesus, your faith is challenged, and it continues to grow. That's what it means by working out your salvation. You'll be saved first to work it out. Christian, you have an upward call to live like Jesus in a dark world that's hurting, that's broken. Christ-like perfection is our goal. Paul says, I haven't reached it yet. I have not attained perfection yet. And we too can join with Paul and says, I have not attained perfection yet, but every day I'm being refined more and more to look like Christ. That's why it's intentional. That's why it's this choice that the Holy Spirit is changing our motivation. He's changing us each day to grow more like Christ. That's an intentionality. If you're not being intentional about your faith, you're going to be intentional about something else. It's either Jesus or something else is what you're doing. You're making choices to follow Christ or choices not to follow Christ. We won't attain perfection until we are resurrected from this old life. We stand before Jesus Christ. You see, we're going through this life being refined each day to be more like Christ Jesus. He is our prize. He is the one who brings us to his eternal kingdom, where our inheritance lies and our home is. So every day is a strain and a push so that we can be more like Christ till we reach our eternal home. That's the beauty of it. Is that Paul says, I forget what's behind me and I strain every day. I push forward every day to live the life that Christ has called me upward to live for him. That's your call, Christian. That's your call, is to live more like Jesus every day. To die to self. To renounce self every day. The third thing we see here. Paul throws us something in verse 18 and 19. He reminds us that there are many who are earthly minded. And Paul is encouraging Christians all through this. And then in verse 18 and 19, he throws this curveball at us a little bit. Verse 18, 19 says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Now, Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians, addressing this letter to believers. But here he says something that kind of catches our attention. And it caused Paul to even cry. You see, there were a group of people who began to believe this heresy, this false doctrine, that because Jesus died on the cross, he paid the payment for all our sins, therefore I have a right to go sin because it's already been paid for. Call that abuse of the grace of God. Neglect in understanding what grace really means and what Christ did on the cross for. Paul says they're enemies of the cross. Their God, little g, is their bellies, their appetites. They want to do whatever feels good to themselves. Oh, but I can go to Christ and I can get forgiveness. Paul says, he said, their God is their belly, and they glory in shame, and their minds are set on earthly things. Paul wanted his reader to understand that there were professing Christians. There were people in Paul's day who actually believed that they could go out and sin. It was a ticket to sin. They could go out and do what they want. simply because of Jesus. Even though Scripture forbids. Paul called them earthly minded, enemies of the cross of Christ. It did not matter that these people professed Christ to be Christ's followers. Their minds and desires and their affections and appetites were for sinful pleasures, and that proved that they were not saved. Verse 19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame. You see, these folks were going to church, and they were doing all the things that the saved people were doing. They were doing all the things. They were putting on a good face, in other words, around the church folks. But away from the church folks, they were living like the devil. They were doing anything they wanted to do, except if the preacher came around. And then they hid everything from the preacher. If other believers came around, solid in their faith, they kind of hid back from that. But they wanted to do anything they wanted. Paul says, listen, their enemies are the cross, and their end is destruction. And when I read those verses, I started thinking, wow, how does that affect the church of 2020? How does that affect anyone who gives whatever title you want to call yourself, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Pentecostal? It doesn't matter. The word is still the word to us. How does that affect us? Are we living like the world but saying we're Christians? Are we living out there just feeding whatever appetite we have? Say, well, you know, I'll just go get forgiveness for it. Paul says, destruction is yours. Because what we profess and what we're doing do not match up. What we're professing and what we're doing do not match up. A few questions here that we need to ask ourselves. Is my mind set on earthly things? Is my mind just set on the things of the world? Is my mind just set on making the best life for me? Is my mind set on doing whatever I want to do? Second question is, am I interested in spiritual realities at all? Am I really interested in what Christ is doing in my life? Am I really interested in the Holy Spirit living through me? Third question, does my appetite for food, sex, and material goods rule what I do? The things that draw our attention, the things that draw our desires, do they rule me? Fourth question is, am I proud of things that Scripture says are shameful? It's heavy questions. Simple, but heavy. Because these questions are kind of what Paul is gearing toward when he says about these people who just are enemies of the cross. Are you an enemy of the cross this morning? Are you one who takes what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross for granted? Are you saying, well, Jesus died, he paid the price, I can live like I want to live? Paul says, this is not Pastor Kevin. Paul says, you know what? This is God's word, that your end is destruction. He's talking to church people. Church folks, people who come in and as they want and sit on the pews of that day, hear a message, say amen, shake a few hands, kiss a few babies, and they're out in the world following something else. Paul describes enemies of the cross in these ways. And says they're in this destruction. People who are earthly minded are short-sighted. They think about temporary things. They pursue temporary and fleeting desires. They do not have a foresight to see that these things will come to an end in wrath and judgment, destruction. Maybe today you realize that you call yourself a Christian, but there's really not much evidence to convict you of being one. Listen, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life saying, I'm a Christian, but you're living out in the world. Don't waste your life. Don't waste eternity. The last thing is this. Paul reminds us to fix our mind on heavenly things. Verse 20 and verse 21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Christians, we are to live every day with an eternal focus in our life. An eternal focus. Are we about the Father's business? Are we doing what God has created us to do? When we say no to the old life, we renounce that and we're walking with Jesus Christ. Is our focus really in heavenward? Is our focus really on the things that are eternal? The things that will last? Are we about the Father's business? He's gifted us all in some way, in some form. He's planted you exactly where he wants you to be for this season of your life. That's where you are. He's gifted you to be there. Are you shining for Christ? Bible says that we're lights into a dark world. Are you being a light in a dark world where he's planted you? Fix your eyes on the things that are eternal, not just temporary. What are you doing for Christ Jesus that has eternal significance? Or are you just living for yourself? Listen, that doesn't have any impact in the kingdom of God. What a waste of your life. If all you have to show Jesus with your one life that he's given you, some vacation pictures, a few family heirlooms, maybe a hunting camp, maybe a nice boat, a big house, maybe your favorite collectibles. Well, God, I collected angels. Well, God, look at this wonderful seashell collection I have. God, look at this house that I have. What a waste of our life. See, you were created for so much more. So much more that has eternal significance. You were created to bring God glory. You have a mission, and he has given you at your disposal everything that you need. The tools, the training, the investments to accomplish great things for God. You don't have to have the best education to accomplish great things for God. You don't have to have any education to do great things for God. You don't have to know a lot. You just have to know him and live for him. See, the only way you will live out your life is that you and me count a loss everything back there. Not count a loss just back then when we got saved, but every day that we count the person that we used to be as a loss and live for Christ. Because Christ is so much more gain. Christ is the ultimate, and we're living for him as the ultimate. You must strain and push forward toward the prize of being more like Christ every day. Check yourself each day to see where your passions and your appetites are focused. Fix your mind on heavenly things. live with the intentional focus to make much of Jesus, to fulfill the kingdom work already planned for you. When you live for Christ and your focus is on His kingdom, you won't waste your life. You will only waste your life if you just live it for you. Just live it for the things in your life, the earthly things. But when you live for Jesus, when you call out to Him every day, dying to self to live for Christ, you will not waste your life. If you had to evaluate yourself today, what would you say you're at right now? Where would you say you're at? Are you living to the fullness that God really wants you to live? Or have you just been chasing dreams? Setting goals and chasing dreams for things that really don't matter. See, that's a hard conversation that we have to have with God. That's a hard conversation. Can we honestly say, God, when I pass from this life, I want to stand before You and I'll give an account of my life. Lord, I don't want to just give an account of things that I've done on this earth that have no significance at all. God, I really want to count in Your kingdom. I really want to make a difference, a life of significance. This altar will be open in just a moment. We're just about to close. You're our guest here today. I honor your time. This altar will be open if you want to come pray. Brother Ed and I will be here in the front if you want to pray with us. Whatever God is dealing with you in your life, this is an opportunity to make it count. Let's pray. Father God, today, thank You for Paul. Thank You for the message he gives to us in renouncing the old life and renouncing it every day continuously to live for Jesus, to gain in Christ, to grow more like Him, to be refined in Him. God, I'm afraid there's so many Christians who are just going through life. They're not worried about being refined in their faith. They're not worried about having a vision of the great things that You want in them. In their life, God, they're just wanting accomplishments. They're just wanting accolades. They just want to be liked. They just want friends. Father, I pray that You give them a bigger vision. A bigger vision. Change and transform them even today by the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.